Hi, and welcome back to En Garde Cigar Salon. It has been a few months since we've done one of these political round-the-couch things. Some of the resistance is working that we've spelled out. We've got lots of feedback that people like what we're telling them to do. People are taking action. And we're seeing lots of people take action. We're seeing lots of people push back. And not just Democrats, and not just people on the left.
Yeah.
People on the right now are realizing he's gonna fuck them too.
If you look at what's happening at some of these town halls around the country, and you see Republican after Republican after Republican standing up and saying, I'm a veteran, or I rely on Social Security, or my health care is being taken away, they are pissed off. So these are dyed-in-the-wool Republicans who are pretty upset.
To the point that Republicans stopped having town halls.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I actually went to a Republican town hall where they sent a staffer, not the actual congressperson. And from the second she entered the room, there's usually, we heard from the people who run it in the administration building, they moved us to a bigger room because they said, oh my God, only usually three or four people show up to these. Well, there were hundreds. And from the second she walked in, if somebody just sneezed, she picked up all her papers and said, this is hostile, I'm leaving.
Well, stop sneezing.
Exactly. So even before anybody, but there was a huge turnout. And the one thing I learned at that I think is an important thing for all of us to do is to stop calling it the resistance, and we are an opposition party. We are formally now opposing the other side. We are not resisting. And that was the one thing I learned there from a guy who runs the local Indivisible chapter. So I think that's something that we might want to start changing our language to say we're the opposition party.
Well, that's a good point. So let's go through and talk about the things that are working and what we should continue to do. But I think one of the, because this just happened this week. You've been talking about getting on Signal forever.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because of the apps, the messaging apps available to the average consumer, it is the most secure.
But what if you add a recorder to it?
Well, if you're trying to, you know, talk about war plans, no, you don't use Signal. You use a government-secured system. And that was a pretty big embarrassment and just shows you how incompetent this administration is.
What I find interesting about this is they're backpedaling, they're saying, no, it didn't happen, there were no war plans, da, da, da. But we know that criticism bugs them.
Yes.
We know this. That leaked J.D. Vance tape about Elon Musk, they care what people think.
Right.
And that's where we got to stick to. And they put incompetent people the head of these agencies,
yep.
They're gonna fuck up a lot.
Well,
this is just the tip of the iceberg that's gonna happen.
Just this morning, they found out that, I think it was the chief of staff, has his entire Venmo history
still open. You can see everywhere.
To the public. That's security 101 if you work in the government.
Yeah.
You secure and you lock everything down.
But I mean, but they don't really care, I don't think, about the popularity as much as we think they do, because they know that they can back that up and they know that their constituents will believe whatever they say.
J.D. Vance said, Elon's making us look bad.
I know.
So they do care what people think.
But they back it up. They won't stick to
it. Oh, no.
It.
Publicly, no.
Right.
Exactly.
But we know privately it does.
Yes.
That's my point.
Well, and that's why they want to criminalize leakers. That instead of it being what was normally known as whistleblowers, now everybody's a leaker. And no matter, you're very right, no matter what they do, they don't give a fuck about us. It's about the ultra wealthy and their power. And the only time they get angry is if that is in some way in danger. And if you look at it now, Signal, no, it's perfectly fine. And they're trying to say that this reporter snuck into it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not techie, but can I get on your text if I don't even know they're happening?
Yeah, you have to be invited in.
Right, exactly. And then secondly, you're absolutely right. It's, well, there was nothing on there. And then they talk to the orange, whatever he is. I don't know anything about it. I don't think they're, I don't know.
I'm wondering who they're
going
to throw under the bus for inviting them, because somebody did.
Right.
Somebody did.
Somebody did, and
but
they're going to figure it out.
You know what? Here's what I think. But anyways, this whole thing about I don't know anything. Does anybody, oh, if we're the old timers here, remember Hogan's Heroes? Yeah. Trump is sounding like I know nothing. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
Whoever that guy was on that show.
But let's go full circle for just a second, because we talked about the fact that at these town halls, one Republican after another is standing up and is royally pissed off.
Uh-huh.
So it is mattering that we are pointing out over and over how much they're lying. Admittedly, in these cases, it's often because it only affects them.
Right.
That's
I agree.
It.
But I'll take it at this point.
Right.
If it pisses them off and it pushes back and their base gets riled up, good. Do the people in power, they don't give a fuck about anybody.
Right. Now, right. The one thing, and I agree with you fully, this is just me, and it is controversial, but here's the thing. Those voters, Republican voters, were fine with it hurting anybody else. But now they're pissed off that it's affecting them, and they show up screaming. I'm sorry. If you voted Republican, he told us everything he was going to do. He's doing it and worse. They never hid what they were going to do, and I'm sorry, it is not the time to be nice. These people need to own this, and we need to say to their face, you did this.
Yeah, and I don't want to rehash this argument again. We're going to need the numbers. So we need everyone to be pissed.
We need the non-voters to vote. We don't need MAGA at all.
Yeah, I disagree. But then the reason is, I think that you are looking at these Republicans standing up at town halls, and honestly, if a vote were to happen today in those districts, that Republican would pull the Democratic lever.
Yeah.
They would. I actually, they think it's their Social Security, their Medicare, their Medicaid, their veterans benefits, etc., there's enough of them that I think will pull that Democratic lever.
But we've had this debate before, so we're not going to
rehash it. Right, we're not going to
rehash it. So let's go into Tesla.
Okay.
Tesla. You have gone to several of the
four.
Which love it.
And they're working.
They are working.
They tanked Tesla's stock. They tanked his personal wealth.
Yep.
They're pissed. He's made the White House become a commercial for Tesla.
Right. But let's look at what he's doing as of today. They want to make vandalizing, which I don't think anybody should ever vandalize. I think it's a big mistake. Protests are good. They want to make that a hate crime. Red states won't make killing a gay person like they did in Wyoming a hate crime. That state still has none after Matthew Shepard. But if you key a Tesla, Republicans think that's a hate crime?
But the protests are working.
They are working, but be peaceful at them.
Absolutely be peaceful.
And that's
everyone
my message.
I've been to has been incredibly peaceful.
Right.
Do you think spray painting a Tesla is violent?
If you do, you need to have everything on, like a big mask, and shoes.
I am not in favor of
I agree.
Any of that.
That's a joke.
And,
we shouldn't vandalize.
Yeah, and by the way, the data is, and I can point to it later, the data is quite clear that nonviolent protest is far more.
It is. Well, that's
the other sad thing is the core market for Tesla when they first came out was liberals.
Right.
Because they thought they were saving the
environment.
So before we knew Elon Musk was batshit crazy, a lot of our brothers and sisters, liberals, bought those fucking cars.
Absolutely. You see them all over San Francisco.
You can look out this window.
And they go by all the cars. But here is the thing about that I think we have to remember. Absolutely, we were joking. Stay peaceful. I personally am a little bit more radical maybe than everybody else. I think they want an excuse to arrest and treat badly. I think they want an excuse to shoot. I worked with somebody who was shot at Kent State, peaceful protest, shot into the crowd, four dead, six injured. I 100% believe they want to injure us.
Okay, so that's Tesla, and we're going to put a bunch of links down below that you can follow all these organizations, teslatakedown.com. Let's talk about the 5051 movement.
Yeah, so the 5051 movement started on Reddit as a very, very grassroots.
We went to the first one here.
We went to the first one here, and we were surprised at how...
And that was a problem, because there was no... out organizer for that, and so a lot of community leaders in our own community and were nervous about it. They thought this is a setup, this is a trap, but it was basically just somebody who admittedly said he got the idea from on mushrooms, if every state protested at the same time, and all he did was give it time and then say state capital,
right,
date and time, and he left it to each state to individually do it. Now it's taken off and each state is doing it.
And it's a centralized, organized effort.
And this is the first time in American history that that has ever happened.
Yep.
We've never had all 50 states get involved with a protest at the same time against a sitting president. So that is impactful, not on the news anywhere, but impactful.
Yeah, and they are very organized, 5050.1, so it's spelled out 5050.1. You can go there and find out where a local protest is happening.
Right.
You can join. And what's really important to me is that, like with this one that's coming up very shortly, 5051, Women's March, and Indivisible are all aligned.
That's
this
great.
Is what we
so
need.
They have grown in 2 months from people questioning the validity of it to now having all the support behind it because it has proven that it works. And that's the way we need to keep building these momentums to...
Right.
What you're saying, not pushing, not...
To the opposition party.
Opposition party.
We are the opposition party.
And let me just point out that there's a very famous researcher who researches resistance movements and social justice movements. Her name is Dr. Dana Fisher. And during an interview, she pointed out that these kinds of... Unlike resistance 1.0, sorry to use the word.
Right. No.
Where it was a lot of big marches on one day, and that's all everybody knows. Mm-hmm. These pop-up all-over-the-place marches
effective.
Are actually what we need.
It is what we
absolutely.
Need. It is absolutely what we need. I want to go back to something you said earlier about Elon Musk, because here in California, particularly in Northern California, a lot of people might not realize this, but Elon Musk, you're right, was all, oh, I'm a Democrat, and I'm liberal, and I believe in the ecology, you know, ecology. And then when COVID hit, he got into it with Gavin Newsom about closing the NUMMI plant, you know, in Fremont, where they make Teslas. And he refused to do it. He got pissed off all about the Benjamins.
Uh-huh.
And if you look, just Google it, hundreds of people got COVID because he would not close that plant. The second he got into it about his cash, that's when he said, I'm moving my business to Texas, I'm a Republican, I'm MAGA, and Trump, please host me at Mar-a-Lago, and that's how all this happened. It has nothing to do with anything but their wealth.
Yeah, I think everybody's on board with that
yeah.
opinion. So the women, you just mentioned the Women's March .com,
yep.
Which has teamed up now with 5051, you said. Let's talk about indivisible.org.
Indivisible is probably the most effective of all the organizations.
Mm-hmm.
They are former DC staffers who have formed an organization during the first go-round with the orange one, and are continuing. They've kind of completely rethought their strategy. They form local individual groups, or actually they form on their own through the information of Indivisible. And every week they have specific tangible actions they do. They say,
right.
call this person, show up at this, sign this, do, and they give you a 3 or 4 point thing every single week to do.
Right.
And it's very effective. The Indivisible is who got all those people to town halls.
They are. Indivisible was the one at the town hall I
yep.
was at that organized it.
That's who's been getting everybody to town halls.
So the grassroots works.
Yep.
You know,
it really
popped
does.
Up out of nowhere.
So go to indivisible.org, find a local area near you. You can reach out, tell them where you're located. They will send you an email back or some sort of communication and say, this is our local group.
Right.
You know.
But like Indivisible being old staffers, you know what I just read this morning is that, you know, now law firms who did nothing but represent people against what happened, what Trump had done to them, are being attacked by the DOJ, by the Department of Justice. And a few of the huge DC law firms caved.
Yeah.
They
caved.
Well, this
yeah.
morning
is
they're saying,
over and over?
Yeah.
Well, many of them are starting to fight back. And this is where I raised this is a 5-alarm fire. When law firms actually cave to fascism because they did nothing but represent a client, that we are in deep crap here.
But this is Trump's MO.
Right.
Throw lawsuits at.
Right.
Whether he'll win them or not, just keep people tangled up and fighting in court.
You're right.
That is his MO.
And that's why he did 100 executive orders all on the first day. Heritage Foundations gave them to him, and he signed them to do just that.
And by, it's really important too to remember too that in case our audience doesn't know, executive orders are not law.
Right.
They are nothing more than an opinion of a president. That's right. All they are.
Right.
That say, I would like you to go in this direction. That's all they mean.
Right.
So they don't really mean shit.
Right. But we need these law firms to have a backbone and stand for the rule of law.
We need media companies.
We need everybody to have a backbone
right now.
Because people are caving and caving. Colleges are caving.
Over
Columbia University.
Columbia. Yeah.
I can't believe Columbia caved.
Yeah.
It's shameful. It really is. I do think that we need to be concerned about the legal efforts. The thing is that the average person can't affect that as much as I'm hoping the legal industry itself.
Well, where's the Bar
Association? The Bar Association, et cetera. That's who needs to really clamp down and say, no, you are violating the ethics of your profession.
Right. The first thing Orban did in Hungary and Erdogan did in Turkey was attacked the justice system and lawyers and the universities. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They did it over there, and it's won. But you know who was next on the list? Queers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Queers are next on the list.
We are
on the list.
Yeah. Right, we're on the list.
And we'll get to
it. I'm going to wait before I put that
in. Okay. No, go for it.
No.
I was going to say, you know, queers are on the list, and we know we've always been on the list, but yet we still have queers on their side.
Yeah.
Infuriates me.
Yeah, and we talked about that two episodes ago, and we stand by it. If you voted Republican, you're not welcome in our queer spaces.
Right.
Sorry.
You know, just because you're a homosexual does not mean you're a part of the LGBTQI community. To be a part of a community, you minimally have to not purposely do damage to the community.
Right.
So you're right. They might have same-sex attraction. They're not a part of our community.
No. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's great. So now, one of the most encouraging thing I have seen is AOC and Bernie Sanders teaming up to fight the oligarchy. It is not Trump. It's not anything specific. It's not even Republicans.
Right.
It's make our enemy the fucking wealthy, rich people who are destroying our lives. Because that both sides can read and see.
Yep.
And once you figure out that is who's really, they're distracting you on the right. It's the rich people. Teaming up with Bernie Sanders was a brilliant thing.
Ah, brilliant.
He's a Democrat by proxy, I guess. But the young people liked him a lot. We should have gone with him.
I
think.
Our biggest errors were not him and not Hillary. We needed the two.
Well, he was running against Hillary, so we had to choose then. So I think Hillary would have been great. But Bernie Sanders threw a monkey wrench into that, actually.
I wish they'd come to San Francisco. I really do.
Well, they're not going to come here because we're blue.
They're not needed here.
Yeah, they're not.
They need to stay in those red states.
Yeah.
And this is why. Because they need to change the minds of red MAGA people. They need to say, this is the problem. You are mad at the wrong people. You're mad at brown people. You're not mad at the rich people that are exploiting you.
Yeah.
And that is the message that needs to be heard.
Right.
You know, I just got back from North Carolina, where I was visiting relatives, and I completely forgot that the Woolworths, that was the home of the sit-in, that was part of the whole civil rights movement, is there in North Carolina, in Greensboro, where I was. And I took a picture of myself in front of that Woolworths. But it just goes to show that, you know, four students did a sit-in, and it changed the world.
It did. They sat at that counter.
They sat at the counter.
At their own physical.
Yes.
Physical danger.
And we can do that. I mean, you don't have to do like a full protest if you can't, but you can make your own statement any way you can. And you know, I brought up the whole log cabin Republicans. They're going into our spaces right now, wearing whatever it is they wear. Why aren't we going into their spaces and sitting down at their counters?
They don't
their
have spaces.
They do
the
log cabin.
The log
cabin. Well, maybe we should
have
start
a restaurant that they go to. And in Sacramento, they also have a bar that they favor.
Yeah.
But they have a restaurant in Palm Springs that they're all going to.
That bar should reject them.
And since we're talking about the queer community, and since it kind of goes full circle to you saying about, well, fuck Republicans and we don't need them, a whole bunch of queers voted against us.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of queers didn't vote. And I'm going to say something controversial. A whole bunch of queers said, I'm a one-issue voter, fuck that, I'm going to vote for some outside person. And they fucked us over.
Right.
So I am the same way. I think we need Republicans that are willing to go, okay, I fucked up. I think we need to hopefully find some queers and people who didn't vote, people who voted third party, who vote, I fucked up.
Right.
And bring them on board. Because they're just as culpable, I'm sorry.
Okay. They are.
Well, let me ask you a question, Race. Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot. But, you know, you're savvy with social media, and we all know this. Okay, so there's this whole trend that's happening right now where people are calling out their friends who are friends with someone who voted against our interests. And I've been thinking about the concept of keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Right.
And I think it's smart to have people on your list that you could look and monitor and see what they're doing, see what they're saying, because they're definitely doing that to us. So, you know, the whole calling out of, you know, I have three friends on this person's list and, you know, you have to block them or something. I think that it's smart to stay on their list and see what they're doing.
In the entire time from Trump 1.0 to now, it used to be four people I blocked. I think it's up to seven. In all this time, and the only way they get blocked is if they jump on my thing and they disrespect me or the people, especially the people on my thread.
Yes.
But I'm sure if you go out to look at my connections, there's Trump voters there.
Yeah.
And my own thing is I don't call them out. It's not my thing. If they show their face in my feed, yeah, that's a very different thing.
Right. Right.
But I'm not going to just de facto. And the reason is that I have had, I think the last time we talked, I said I had three or four. I've had a number of people now, can't even count, who have reached out to me privately and said, because you aren't so incendiary when somebody talks to you, I fucked up. I voted for Trump.
But they're not going to admit that publicly.
They're not going to admit
it
publicly.
Very quietly.
They are.
And they're going to change their mind.
And hopefully they'll go into the booth, assuming we have elections again, and vote differently. So I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to say, you know, okay, I'm listening to you. I'd love you to post that. Yeah. But at least fucking vote the right way this next
time. Well, maybe they'll talk to their friends.
And
the same
yes.
way, well, you know, like, hey, you know, we fucked up.
Yeah.
Wait, I think what you said is brilliant. And I'll tell you why. I think in the past, we all had the same ethos that we believe in democracy, we believe in dissonant voices, but we're going to vote, blah, blah, blah. That rule book is out the window. And ever since the Republican Party has been hijacked by fascist Christian nationalists, we do have to keep seeing who's who, because, you know, you're right, they've done it for decades. And sadly, I believe us saying we want to be inclusive, we don't ever want to exclude anybody, you know, let's really think about this. And that's what queers have done, because we have been so discriminated against, or any persons of colors community has been, that we tried to model that and have that ethos. That rule book is out the window.
Yeah, and liberals have had that issue for a very long time, and this is the both sidedism thing.
Right.
That we said they're not both sides are equal.
Right.
And we've got to stop saying.
Right.
We have got to stop having news channels put a conservative and a liberal voice on, and then act like both of them make sense.
Like they're both valid.
No. Some are facts and some are not.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And so. Moving to the center isn't going to work. I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Well,
let's talk about Gavin Newsom for a second.
what a mistake. Very disappointed.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I think the idea that mainstream politics can move to the center to win is done with.
Yeah.
We are in a different era now.
Well, like the pig said, because he doesn't want to change the MAGA voter mind, 37% voted. We just got people who didn't vote to vote.
It's the people who didn't, I believe. Then that's just me.
And those aren't center people.
No.
They're just uninterested.
They're not.
Well, you know, they are the low information voter, and I understand that. Listen, if you're a single mother and you've got three kids, or a single father, or a couple that has three kids and you're just trying to make ends meet, you listen to sound bites. And the one thing we have not done is what the fascists have done. Even during non-election year, they had rally after rally after rally. You look at these churches and they're on the pulpits from churches saying
it's a cult.
Yeah. It is a cult. And we did not do that. Right. And we've got to start doing that, like AOC and Bernie are doing. Get out there in the non-election years and say our piece.
And much the way Bernie and AOC are doing the rallies, you are having Democrats holding town halls in Republican districts when the Republican won't show up. That is a small form of rally that's very powerful.
That is so powerful.
So we are beginning to do it. So we have to give credit to the Democrats for at least starting that process and doing what needs to be done.
Right. I want to circle back to Gavin Newsom.
You know what? You know, go ahead, who we had on this podcast.
So Gavin Newsom, the governor of our state, launched a podcast. I'm a little dubious about whether an elected official should have a podcast or not, like that. But he had a podcast, and Charlie Kirk was his first guest. Radical, extremist, right-wing,
homophobic, bigot.
Piece of shit. Gavin kind of capitulated on the trans issue, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And most of
which is surprising, because he is the one who pushed through marriage equality.
Yep.
He was the first one here in San Francisco. So, and I understand what you're saying. I'm not defending him. I can tell that in their, war room, they thought, let's bring on the worst of the worst on the right side, and we'll throw them a bone from time to time so that they stay on the show and don't leave. And he's trying to go center. Well, but that doesn't work.
It's the old playbook. It's the old playbook.
Democrats are guilty of over and over the old playbook. Mm-hmm. They are not throwing mud. It was Michelle Obama, go high. When they go low, we go high. And we think that being right and having facts on our side protect us from anything. But no, we just get creamed every single fucking time.
The last time I think it will work in American politics, it worked with Biden. Biden is a centrist. He's a left of centrist. He's a very liberal centrist.
But he's a centrist.
That's probably the last time in an American election that's going to work.
Right. But like what you said, what going along with this, you know, this is what they do, and their cult just eats it up. They're blaming the reporter that they put in the shank. They're blaming the lawyers who represented people
who
that were abused by Trump
to print the sensitive.
He's the only one.
He's the only ethical one there.
Unbelievable.
But we have to remember that the entire Republican Trump brand is lie, escape, deny, push back, and never admit to anything, because that's what got them where they are. So why would we not expect them to keep doing the same thing?
Exactly. Well, that's why, and I gotta say, I love Jasmine Crockett for this reason. I'm telling you, I hope she has bodyguards. Because in that chamber, in the congressional and the Senate chamber, when they say crazy stuff, whether she's in order, out of order, she speaks up and says, that's bullshit. And we need that every time.
And
every time.
We need more Democrats doing that.
That's what I mean. Yeah. The only ones doing it are Jamie Raskin, Jasmine Crockett, AOC. There's one other guy that does it with
Chris
Jamie
Murphy.
Raskin. Yeah.
Murphy.
The rest, where are they? They're MIA.
Pete Buttigieg
is great. But he's not in the Congress or the Senate. Now, he's out of government.
Yeah. So because we are trying to focus on what is working, we've talked about the Tesla takedown. It's working. Most of Musk's wealth is in Tesla. The more you crush the stock, the more you affect him, the less power he has. These 50-51 Women's March, Indivisible, absolutely working.
Five calls.
Everyone should download the Five Calls app. I do it every morning from my bed. We do it. So, and I literally am not out of bed.
They're Five Calls buddies.
No, it's not kind of never takes me more than five total minutes to do those calls every morning. It's so simple to do. I fire up the app. I see what issue I want to talk about. The script is there. It has the number there. It dials it for you. The whole thing. It's so easy. So do five calls. If you want anyone's verification that it works, AOC has said it absolutely works.
Right. She's
a huge advocate of five calls, and I trust her.
I do, too. She's great.
Okay. So we've already talked about the town halls. How do you organize an empty chair town hall when the Republicans are here?
hoping those don't show up.
You know, those are brilliant. When they get on the news, and the media is complicit in dragging us down this fascist rat hole.
But the media has to cover local news.
Right, and that's why I'm telling you, I think, you know, the national news is doing nothing. However, local news is going to be
human interest and local
news. And when you see an empty chair there, and the auditorium or office is filled with people screaming, I think it's very impactful.
So if your Republican doesn't show up, you can still have a town hall.
Right.
You can ask your Democratic people elected in your area to sit in that chair and field questions if you want.
Right.
Or you can simply have a moderator take questions, have a discussion, have the press with cameras pointed, hearing all of this stuff where you're reading the Republicans to filth.
Right.
Over, and so it's, and I will link in our description to our podcast to an article by Robert Reich on how to, is that how you say his name, Reich?
Yeah, Reich.
Yeah.
He's from Berkeley, love him.
And follow his Substack, it's really good. And he has advice on how to do your own town hall.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about nonviolence versus violence. You say nonviolence works far better.
Far more.
And there's a TED Talk by Erica Chenoweth.
There is. It's 11 years old, but the data is solid because she goes back decades and decades and decades. And what she did was she approached the topic with the bias that no, violence really works a lot better. That was her bias, and she admits that.
Right.
And then her academic said, are you sure about that? What does the data say? So she goes, being an academic, I went and dove into the data for 2 years, and guess what? I was wrong.
Right.
Nonviolence works dramatically better, and if you go the past 50 years, the way nonviolent has worked has dramatically done better than violent, even from prior histories. So as we move forward in time, nonviolence is far more superior than
violence.
But
nonviolence only works when the numbers turn out.
But it will make numbers turn out. And listen, Martin Luther King was an intellect who, he was the first one who brought to the United States from Gandhi passive nonviolent resistance. And that's why those kids who sat at that counter, or those poor people on the Petitress Bridge that were beat with and with the fire hoses, but they stayed peaceful and we got that through.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. I've been thinking about this. You know, nonviolence versus violence. I mean, you all know me. I'm not a violent guy.
At all.
But when it comes to people of color, for us to do nonviolent protests, we know that we're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
We could get shot. We could get hosed. We could get dogs. We get all those things happening to us. And at some point, we have to be able to defend ourselves, but we can't. We've seen in this country that we can't
defend
ourselves. So when you start talking nonviolence, I'm saying, white people, you need to get out there and sit down on a stoop someplace and protect us from that.
You know? I agree.
Because we can't always do nonviolence.
I agree, because they will beat you with their or shoot
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Or shoot. Because they've done it. But, you know, that's why I always go back. You know, my hero, she's here in the Bay Area. You can come on our show. Joan Baez, she, another one with passive nonviolent resistance. But look, ended up in jail. Martin Luther King, they killed. Malcolm X, they killed.
Medgar Evers,
they killed. Bobby Kennedy Jr., they killed.
Yeah.
They killed them all.
Yeah.
So they killed everybody. Got
yeah, they did.
Okay. So.
but let me point out that the people can always topple any regime. It's been proven through data that no administration in the world has ever survived 3.5% of the population hitting the streets.
Correct.
So it does matter.
The trick is, how do we get 3.5%?
That's a good
one.
It's that 50-51.
50-51 is
indivisible.
Probably our best bet.
But how do you get those people out there and to be out and violent?
Right. Well,
you know, if you get
they are now.
But I don't mean to argue with you, but
no,
I think violence is going to have to happen. None of these regimes that we've talked about.
If violence happens, he will shut the country down.
He will do military rule.
But the countries that we've talked about that have toppled, the people have toppled, there's been violence.
Every time. There has been violence, but the point is that the push has to be for nonviolence, not for
violence.
Okay,
yes.
It doesn't mean that it's not possible. A good example, just, I believe it was yesterday, was last few days, there was a protest in Berkeley.
I love that,
and
with the taser guy.
And a guy, a pro-Trump supporter, came through on a bicycle, tried to mace a...
Taser.
This older woman. Turned out to be a professor at Berkeley who had her shit together, and she beat the fuck out of him.
She grabbed him by the hair, pulled him off his bike.
So yeah, that's violence happened. She was defending herself.
But she was defending herself.
Right. But boy, the whole world was like, you go, girl.
Yeah. You know? You do. But I want to say something with what you said, because it's true. And two things can be true at the same time, mm-hmm. is that no civil right was ever gained without violence. And during the Civil Rights Act, people of color, Martin Luther King, black people in the United States, brown people in the United States were nonviolent, but they were treated violently.
Yes.
So there has never been any time, we do have to stay nonviolent, but you are right. There has never been one civil right game where there wasn't violence, but the violence was from the conservatives.
Right. I was gonna say, the
not
violence
from
was
the other right.
the people protest.
Because they knew. They would just shoot into the crowd, and even more so now, they're all armed to the teeth.
Well, have you seen that new sonic weapon they have for...
The sound thing?
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right about never was there not violence, but it's just we've been the non-violent one.
And
right.
because I want our community to be as safe as possible, mm-hmm. We're going to put a link in the description to a new program called Safety Blows, which actually originated out of Palm Springs, mm-hmm. but they have one of the best safety pages I've ever seen. It's a great way for people to disseminate safety information so we all stay as safe as possible.
Right.
Because there will be some violence from the right.
There'll be some violence.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they always do.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to Dr. Dina Fisher.
So she is the resistance expert I was referencing, who documented Resistance 1.0. She now is studying this current wave of resistance. And she believes, after a lot of discussion with Adam Conover on his podcast, came up with two things that I think was important. He said, well, what do you think is going to happen? She says, I think we are going to see millions of people in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, which is necessary. And I think we're going to see a general strike, which is necessary.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not putting words in her mouth, but as I interpreted what she said, she believes those were going to happen within the next 6 months, and they're both necessary.
Let's talk about the strikes. We didn't put that in there, but those seem to be working as well. Target has gone down the tubes.
Target has lost
a lot
of money.
And that's black people, too.
Yeah, that's right. Mostly from the black churches.
No, it really is.
It is.
I know.
That's why I'm
smiling.
I'm the black. You're the black people.
Money represent
talks.
Exactly.
Money talks. And as we pull our money back from the corporations that are fucking us over,
uh-huh.
and we give our money to local businesses, queer-owned businesses, black-owned businesses, women-owned businesses that are on our side, etc., we take back our power.
So answer, I feel like I'm missing something here, because if Trump cuts everybody's jobs, if they make it so everyone's unemployed, what are all of these corporations, their buddies, right? What are they going to do when we don't have money to spend on their products?
Well,
it seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot.
They're not, though.
They're not. They're creating a peasant society so that they have a cheap labor force here so they don't have to keep sending it overseas. They want us poor and destitute so they can make more money.
But who's going to buy their products is my problem.
Well, I think we'll
rich,
still...
Right now, we buy the... There's not enough rich people to keep them. We buy their products.
This is not good economic policy for
it's
America.
Not.
It's okay for a oligarch, billionaire, who can look at a market that starts to go down and make $1 billion
right.
on
sure.
something, but the average American, they're fucked up.
But these corporations aren't going to last because
no, they're not.
We can't afford to buy their products.
No,
look at
not.
Target.
Right.
Yep, what
right.
the fuck is going to happen to them? Look at Macy's just shut down. Look at all of these retail stores that nobody can afford anymore, and so they're all going under.
But in the short
that's what I don't understand.
Well, the only way I understand it is just like, why do they always attack us when we decorate their homes and cut their hair and do everything for them? I'm not joking. You know what? Honestly, they don't care. It's the wealth that they have that they know. It really is 1% running all of us, and they don't care.
Which is
well, it's just like the guy
yeah.
who said, you know, if someone, I can't remember, but if someone doesn't get their check, and they complain,
they were fraud.
Because his grandmother
would never
complain about not getting her text. Well, that bitch is rich.
I know. I couldn't believe he said that. Well, yeah. She wouldn't complain. She would just think, oh, it's late. I'll see if this comes next month. Everybody else can't even
and, like,
can't
she move. Gets a check.
I know. Anyway.
Drink your wine, Shelby.
But it's the way billionaires gaslight.
It is. Well,
it really is. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, and this is something for, we're old, but that's the whole point of this whole podcast,
you're
or whatever
old,
it's called.
We're old.
We
are old.
I know. But you know, the one thing about that is that they have gotten into people's psyche through being cult, that they get them to vote against their own best interests, and it's exactly what you say, is that they're taking away their jobs, they're taking away their benefits, they're ruining the companies that they probably use, and they are so greedy and so cruel. They are not there in government to do anything but to feed their own pocket. And people, it's gotten that far down the line because we've been playing by a rule book they threw out.
But now that we're seeing with all the federal workers that voted for Trump who have just been fired, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're very anti-Trump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing grandma, using a generic grandma, right. who's all of a sudden looking at, maybe my Social Security's not there, and that's how I eat and pay my rent and my mortgage, that voted for Trump, now they're upset. And I think that's going to happen more and more.
It may take
them
two checks to be upset.
It may take them.
Well, otherwise it's fraud.
Yeah. So. But you know, it's the thing about the cult, and I do have to say, as a nurse, when I heard about that poor child dying in Texas from measles, and then the parents getting on the news and saying, we're still anti-vax, yep. and we still believe it, and it's just a risk you take, this is what we're dealing with. And my heart just went out to them. I got to say, I felt so bad for that couple because I thought, you are so deluded. And you are so, that your
but
child...
But why does your heart go out to them?
Well, the whole situation.
Oh, okay.
That their whole
child died.
Yes. And they are so superficial that what their religion meant more than their child dying painfully. Measles is a horrible disease. Many people get it mildly, but the ones who don't, it's horrible. Right. And their own child died, and they're still out there. It's unspeakable to me.
Mm. All right, so you also mentioned AOC Pep Talk.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
I will find the link to it, and hopefully I can put it in the description. There was something I saw where she gave this really wonderful... She does this thing where she sits in front of her phone or
camera. She makes so much common sense.
She does. She knits and she talks to the American people.
Right.
In a very lovely, colloquial way. And this is the pep talk that I'm talking about that I happen to see. I will try to find that specific one. But regardless, follow AOC and listen to what she says to you. She's pretty much always right.
She's in the know.
She's so level-headed.
Yeah.
You know, she really is.
But the right has vilified her because they don't like her.
Well, they knew. They saw her coming, and they knew she was smart.
A long time.
So they denigrated her from the day she got
there. But have you ever seen her talk to a Republican voter?
Yeah. She's very
civil.
Respectful.
And all of a sudden, sometimes those people go, oh, you know, she makes some sense.
Absolutely.
You know, and she has learned how to talk to the opposition in a way that makes them listen. And so I have a lot of respect for her. I mean,
I have extreme respect for her, and they're mocking
and
her.
And Bernie. And I was not a big Bernie supporter first time around. I have monumental respect
for her. Me too. But they're mocking her. Oh, she's a bartender. Really? You know what? Look at what these other people did. You know, if they haven't been, they have crimes.
Have you seen Taylor Marjorie Greene audition for, what's that, America? American Idol.
She
auditioned for American Idol and argued with them that she was a good singer.
Well, then I blame
what
American Idol. I blame American Idol.
Is that?
No, and they all said, honey, you
Well,
stop.
Then they're at fault because had they taken her, she wouldn't be in Congress. I blame American Idol.
No, she was the biggest white.
Well, they have somebody judging on there right now. I'm not too thrilled with
Me
but,
too.
But to your point about AOC and then...
Mocking her
because she was a bartender. She then turned that right around and said, America, do you realize they're making fun of you.
Right.
If you wait tables, if you work hard to put food on the table for your kids at three jobs, they're making fun of you.
Uh-huh.
They're degrading you. And so she turned it around pretty well. And I think
I love that. And look at this Christy gnome. They are actually abducting people off the street. They don't show any of their ID. They don't say they're from ICE. They're pulling these people who have green cards that are here legally,
yeah,
that we have asked to come here to teach in our universities.
Yeah.
And then Christy gnome goes to El Salvador, to where they sent all these many innocent people to this horrific prison with a $60,000 Rolex on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's infuriated.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. I get all worked up.
So
no, that's good. That's good. We should get worked up.
I'm not doing your wine.
Let's talk.
I have something for you.
Your infuriation is the pulse of the country right now, because we feel like we're shouting into a void and nothing is happening. There, we don't see the change because they are in power with no guardrails and no sign of stopping. So how do we get through this? And I think part of the reason we're talking about is a lot of these things are working. It's slow. We're 4 months in. We're not even through half.
We're not. We're only 2 months in. January 21st, February,
yeah,
March. Two,
okay,
2 months.
I was saying since you were elected.
Oh,
yes.
Since the election. You're
anyway,
right.
So let's talk about how we get through this. Let's talk about community building.
So, community building is going to be the core of how we get through this.
Right.
Every anti-fascist expert will tell you that no fascist installed dictatorship of any sort can ever be toppled without a very strong set of communities,
right,
behind people pushing back the opposition.
Right.
So whatever you can, build community. That also means assume that your phones and your social media are going to get turned off someday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Know everybody in your neighborhood.
Burner phones coming through the customs now.
Yeah.
They can take your phone even if you are a legal,
yeah,
citizen.
And never use biometrics or your face on a phone. Always use a passcode.
Yeah, so change all of that. But the other thing about community building, sticking together in small communities where you can see each other face to face, know your neighbors,
yep, right,
get together, do community potlucks. The other thing is don't let them take away your joy.
Yep.
They want you to be miserable. They want you to be scared. And rightfully, everybody is scared right now, but don't let them take away that joy. And this is also, and I say this for the younger generation as well, because they live so much on their phones. I feel like they live so much in isolation, and their window to the world is through their phones. It's through,
yeah,
the internet. This is the time to get out of the house,
yep,
and meet your neighbors. This is the time, even if you have a phobia of being around people, you need to be around people now. And you need to be around like-minded
people. That's an important part. That's an important.
I'm going to make a suggestion that everybody who's watching this, make up some flyers, pass them out to the three square blocks that you live around.
Oh, interesting.
And say, on this day and at this time, we're all going to go out in the street and meet each other.
Yeah.
And if somebody's housebound, somebody from that building come out and tell us, there's a woman in here who can't get out and she's housebound. And so you know the neighbor who's housebound too.
Yeah.
Because when the shit goes down, knowing all of your neighbors is going to be really, really, really important.
And that's the other thing about changing minds. When people meet you face to face, when they meet a trans person, when they meet a gay person, they usually like them.
Yeah.
Because,
oh, yeah,
they're people, they're fun, they're joyous people. I know Republican parents that when their kids came out, and mainly on social media, they found out, it was hard for them to hate gay people because now they knew somebody.
Right.
Was.
That's very true.
And this is what we need to do in the community. We need to put our front face forward so they protect us. So they like us.
Right.
And we like them and we protect them.
To what he was saying about social media, to everyone out there that posts on, God knows I post a lot, but until it's boots on the ground and you're actually tangibly doing something in person, it basically means squat.
Right,
right.
It doesn't matter anymore. You can type away all you want and be as angry as you want. That does so little compared to you showing up at
a
protest.
That's going into your own algorithm. Yes. You're preaching to the converted.
Right.
You are not changing a single person's mind.
And if you do use social media, get your social media so that you can bring people out to in-person events. Go to town halls. A friend of mine reached out to me and said, let's go to our senator's office. And we met with them. The two of us met with the senatorial office. Go to a protest. Get out there and go to a community meeting. Build community. Just get out from behind your devices and use them only for organizing, but don't think you're actually doing any meaningful activism.
Right.
So let's also talk about fighting back, a citizen's guide to resistance. And even though we're not using the word resistance anymore.
We can, but I just think we are an opposition party.
Yeah.
So this is a new article that just came out in the New Republic today, which is why we're bringing it up, and we will link to it in the description. One of the things they talk about is marches.
Right.
Getting out, protests, marches, in-person actions. That means town halls as well.
Right.
That means going to your senators and your representatives' offices. They all have local offices, most of them do, as well as DC offices. Go there, talk to them, tell them that you're pissed off and what you want them to do.
Right.
So that is one thing that you can do. Call, contact your elected, use the five calls we talked about, and contact your elected officials and do it every single fucking day. I know that seems like a lot, but it's 5 minutes out of your day.
It's true. And you know, we are facing such extreme times. And just think of the poor people. When you see thousands, and in Belarus, there were hundreds of thousands in the streets. In Istanbul, Turkey, thousands in the streets. In Budapest, Hungary. And that is at great physical danger to them. We have danger here. I'm not minimizing it. But when you live in Belarus and you're out in the street protesting, it is at a very different level of danger than us. So do something.
So to that effect, you know, we've talked about, you know, being like an armchair warrior and all that kind of stuff. There is this assumption, I've seen this over and over on social media. Where are the Democrats? What are they doing? This and that. The cavalry isn't fucking coming.
Yeah.
We are the cavalry.
Right.
And so if we don't push back, that means everyone watching this, that means every single American that gives a shit about this democracy has to fucking do something.
Absolutely.
You can't just clack away or complain or say, well, why don't the Democrats do it? They can't do shit without the people behind them.
Exactly.
That's your playbook sort of thing, because
right.
we're so used to our leaders standing up and saying, now you do this,
yeah.
now you do that. And they're not doing
it. The other way around.
So now we have to do that.
Yep.
And to your point about people, you know, in Belarus and Turkey and all of that, but I think those people are used to fighting for their lives.
Exactly.
In the streets. Americans are not.
No.
You know, in the 60s, 70s, you know, black people had to fight for their lives.
Right.
Brown people had to fight for their lives. Some women had to fight for their lives.
Queers.
Not queers had
especially
to fight for
if
their
it's
women.
Not affecting them now.
Right. Yes, yes. We're not used to that. I mean, I still have people, you know, still going to Target. It's difficult to not use Amazon, but
We've got to stop
using Amazon. We're a nation of convenience. And as soon as we're inconvenienced, a lot of other things don't seem to matter. I think we have to get used to taking the hard road.
I agree with you. And that's when they roll over us, because we want convenience and we think, oh, somebody's going to do it. It'll be fine. And the next thing you know, you're on a train car to a camp. And I do not make light of that, but this is where they are at. Everybody just has to think. I will never forget on the news seeing that one little man in China, I believe it was China, in Tiananmen Square, with his little bag of groceries standing in front of all those tanks.
Yes.
Do you remember that? That one
Was it a woman?
Yes. But just went out there totally alone and had enough and was like, run me over, I don't care, this is wrong. They did, I know. But there's one person who had just had enough and thought enough of her neighbors and of people to do something that serious.
Yeah.
We can go to a march.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right.
You're right, I'm glad you said that, poor person. But what a brave, courageous person.
All right, and so the final point that we have on our list today is the pink triangle topic, which I don't know about.
Well, I do. Well, Donald Trump put out this image of a television screen with the pink triangle and a circle through it.
Right, saw that.
That is what Republican voters who voted for him voted for. It is clearly no gay, no blah, blah, blah. And you know, we have co-opted the pink triangle, and we did it back in the plague years during HIV. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's something that they're now trying to use again, but that is a signal, and don't think that it isn't. That is a signal.
Yeah, that was not an accident.
That was purposely done. I'm sure there was a whole group of people at the table as, how can we do something that we can get now all of these homophobes? We're already going after the black people, yeah. We're going after the brown people, we're going after the immigrants. Now, how do we get the queers in our sights?
Because we know that's next on their list, and we know that because it's in Project 2025.
Thank you.
And they are going, and I'm going to put in a Project 2025 tracker. There is a tracker that was not made by an opposition party. It was made by themselves.
Right.
To say, look what we've done.
Yep.
And it says, what is completed? And what is completed is scary.
Yep.
Right.
And it goes back to every page of 2025. And now even the founders of Project 2025 are saying, this is going better than our wildest dreams.
Right.
We never thought it would go this well.
Right.
And gay people should be paying fucking attention to this, because we are next.
Absolutely.
Don't fool yourself. We are next.
I think we are now.
I think you're right.
They have not ramped up at all. They started with trans. They're planting the seed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to go... So marriage equality on the chopping block already. They're going after gay people for being gay.
100%.
That is next. And mark my words, people think that's not going to happen. It's going to happen.
Well, it's already happening. In Kentucky, there's already legislation going through to take us out of any, and I've said this over and over, housing and employment protections. This is their goal. And the way that they do it is by all of this lying, and, you know, they always talk about how, you know, I don't know, they think drag queens, because they read a book, are pedophiles. But if you look at it, every single day, if you follow Bex, B-E-K-S, on Blue Sky, you know, a different minister, Christian minister, every single day is being
pedophile.
Arrested.
Yeah.
Right. We need to get all that together on a billboard and say, not one drag queen.
And let me say one thing, since much of our audience is from the leather gay community,
right.
And the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
And allies.
Yeah.
I am really over the minuscule community infighting bullshit that I see.
We are fighting with each other, and we should
circular firing squad.
So drop that fucking shit now. Look at the bigger picture, because you're not going to be able to have those little infights anymore, because you're going to be in a camp.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating,
yeah.
But fuck that. And if you're a leather leader, a kink leader, a queer leader, or an ally of any sort, and you're not 100% focused on saving democracy and our civil rights, then you are falling down on the job, and you shouldn't be fucking doing that. You shouldn't have that title. You shouldn't have that position. You shouldn't have that
leadership. And if this is not your platform running for a title, don't run for
it.
Yeah.
Don't run for it.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
But, yeah. but you have to have time to fly across the world and get on a stage and wave.
Yeah.
I mean, when does that happen?
No,
it's bullshit.
We're sick of that. We don't need any more waivers.
We don't
need
it.
Fucking community leaders that are going to sound the alarm and do something.
Right.
So, Race, I mean, and I you know, I don't like challenging you, but, you know, we have, here in San Francisco, we have basically two pride parades,
mm-hmm.
or two prides.
That's bemoaning that they've lost all their corporate sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of
glad
about it.
So how do you bring all those people together and say, we have to stop doing this, we need to be one body?
Good question. I don't know exactly. I think
we stopped throwing a fucking party.
Exactly, and do a march.
You talking about Pride?
Yeah.
Pride needs to be 100% protest. Fuck the celebration.
Yeah. No more parade, it's a march.
We don't have anything to celebrate with.
Right. Here in San Francisco, Juanita Moore, as you know, organizes her march
right.
every year.
Who we love.
Because it is, it's a real people's march. I am not denigrating Pride in the sense that I get why that exists.
Yeah.
For a whole lot of reasons. But we need to do a 180.
Yeah.
And it needs to go away from who's singing for us this time. We don't give a fuck.
No.
You know, get AOC on that stage.
Right.
Invite
yes.
her.
Yes.
Oh, she should be
yes.
the grand maestro.
Let her
right.
talk. Let,
yeah.
her, let her say, we got thousands of people you can talk to. Come talk to us.
Yes.
That's what we need.
Don't bemoan these sponsors that are sponsoring it.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Corporations.
But you know, Grace, what's brilliant about what you just said is that, you know, we've been to Pride celebrations pretty much our whole lives, right?
Right.
And the last few, I've gone to the gate and have turned around because I've never seen so many straight people who have nothing to do but
drink and party and put on gold glitter.
And those are the people that, you know, need to be spoken to, because I can guarantee you that they're going home and they're voting Republican.
I agree. Yeah. They're the ones who ruined Saturday night in the Castro.
Absolutely.
They ruined it.
Easter, all of it. Yeah.
All of it. The straights showed up. I hate to say it, straight people, if you're an ally, we need your allyship. We do. We need your allyship and we like it. But the ones who came and destroyed all of our events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that we need to push back as a community to all of our Pride organizations. Mm-hmm. And World Pride, for example, is doing a bit of face, and they're doing a good job with this. And I hope that our local Pride organization does the same. And said, we need to focus entirely on saving our democracy and protecting our civil rights and nothing else. Or we won't be able to have a Pride celebration 2 years, 3 years.
And the one thing I want to say about that is we've all been in the parade and in the crowd. Wonderful, beautiful people in both. Show up to Juanita Moore's.
Yeah.
You know, all those people that we see on Market Street, thousands. You know what? Be a part of it and come join Juanita.
You're talking about something very local that a lot of our viewers can't
do.
But I get what you're saying. And with that, I'm going to call time. We have talked a lot. I also want to reiterate, even when we're denigrating the straight people coming to our prides,
we're not.
We do want the allies, but there have, and we talked about this before, when you come into queer spaces, respect the queer space.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they come and they make it theirs.
Right.
And especially when alcohol and drinking and drugs are involved, it becomes a huge
and
party.
And rainbow tutus.
And you lose the point of why you're supposed to be there. But right now, we're under fucking attack.
Right.
It's not time to party. It is time to come together and fight back. And that has got to be the message that I haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for that to happen. Yeah.
That's a perfect message. We want the allies to come and know this isn't a party anymore.
Help
support.
Us. Yeah, help us.
And if you're not there to support, you're there to party, go to your bars.
Yeah.
We don't need your pride.
We don't need more
pride. Go to your white pride.
Pride.
You know, I was just at a leather bar with a straight woman standing next to me who was the coolest fucking woman.
Love it, yeah.
And she said to me, with these words, she goes, I know I'm in your space, by the way.
Yeah. See, what?
She got it completely. And I said, good, then you can stay. You know, because she respected the space.
I love it.
She used those words with me. Yeah. I loved it.
Okay. So thank you guys for another great debate. I also want to thank our sponsors, Mr. S. Leather and Leather Daddy Skin Co. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this show. And, yeah, just keep fighting back, please. The comments have been so good, so respectful, so many different points of view. We don't always get it right. These are our opinions, but a lot of thought and research has gone into them.
And look at the resources that will be in the description.
We will have all
and share them around.
Right.
So,
great.
And if you know anyone who's feeling disillusioned and doesn't know what to do, please share this video with them. And with that, we're going to say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.